Well, I cannot believe Gar abandoned us for the final week of Ultra Live. Again.
It's almost like he's planned this shit on purpose.
Yeah, I know. He always leaves me to do it. Like, I don't know why.
You know what? We should just not talk about it. You might say I have zero interest in it.
Ooh. Emily, cue the roll call.
Oh, we're live!
We're live!
Is that what you're supposed to do?
I say cue the roll call.
We're live!
Oh, I thought you just said that.
I know.
Yeah, you fucked it up, and now you confused her.
Cue the roll call.
We're live!
Did you cue the roll call?
We're live!
Just because I haven't said it yet, cue the roll call.
We're live!
I'm sorry, I screwed that up.
We wanted to make Anthony's life a living hell, and just every time we say cue the roll call, just play the opening. Every time the cast
yes,
range plays cue the roll call, you play the cast range
no,
opening. Every time the cast range opening plays, you play the B movie.
Not the whole opening.
Janine Garofalo's expedition to Mount Everest.
Fuck!
Not the whole
run the opening again.
Yeah,
expedition.
Not the whole opening, but just like the first like 2 seconds of the opening.
We're live! Fuck it, run it again. We're live!
Yeah, exactly. I'm not kidding. That would be awesome, but only...
Keep all this in!
Oh, crap, no! Don't keep all this in.
Okay, now we're on the opening.
We're live!
Zenkai Gun!
Connect. Loading.
Broadcast.
Equipment Wielder. Bluecaster. Cheetah Zazeel.
Loyal and Lack! Beatcaster Lightred!
One Little Spark of Courage! Dreamcaster! Global South Perka!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai Cast Ranger!
On air!
You meme!
Yay! Janine Garofalo'd us!
Who?
Game Grumps joke.
Now we can start Game Grumps.
Welcome to episode 1-something. I keep forgetting to check.
158, I believe?
No, 159!
Ooh, so...
159 of Cast Ranger! Hooray!
Yeah, so...
Yellow Caster bailed, and Red Caster is getting ready for personal commitments. Also, it's his birthday.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Happy birthday, Raven.
Happy birthday, Raven. It also was my birthday, like, about 2 weeks ago, so I'm 28 now, and I'm old as fuck, and I fucking hate it.
Happy Bappy-tan, Mon Capitan.
I miss my youth very much.
You need to pull, like, a cartoon villain and start learning how to absorb youth from someone else.
Even though I'm 28, people still say I look 19, so, like, I'll take what I can get, so... but yeah, so this will be, like, not a very too long of an episode because there was no Q Ranger this week, so, because of golf!
Damn you, golf! Why
no,
don't we have
I'm
a Q
okay.
time
I'm
of
okay
it?
Because I love golf, so. But yeah, so we'll be talking about X8 episode 39, and then, for the last week of Ultra Live, we'll be talking about Ultraman Zero, the movie Super Decisive Battle, Belial Galactic Empire, or its other name, Ultraman Zero, Revenge of Belial. So, that's like the easier
It was actually pretty cool, even with no context.
Yeah, so it's the sequel to the first Zero movie that we talked about last year. We also talked about it recently on Ultra Rangers, so when that episode's up, we have a nice discussion about that. So, it's cool.
Our episode will be superior.
We'll see. Alright, let's get into X-Aid. So... Taiga's okay now.
Well, yeah.
Like, he's still, like, a bit injured, but enough that, like, you know, he can get up and he can read books.
Yeah, that was pretty fast.
And he can read books.
And Hero's now...
thank God! I didn't think it could go on unless I could read books.
Well, he read a book this episode. He's reading something.
Read a book!
So then Hero, like, is, like, being polite to him and calling him by his name for once.
Calling him Dr. Hanaya.
Yeah. Because, like, that... You know what? That's actually really bothered me. We're near the end of this show. Hero still calls Emu intern.
Well, he hasn't addressed him by name recently.
The only thing, like, I'm okay with is Taiga calling everyone by their rider names. So, like, calls him X-Aid, fucking... Taiga calls Dan Genmu, Hero Brave, etc., etc.
I like it when Taiga does it, because he makes him maintain his cool attitude or whatever.
Yeah, but like, Hero... I wish Hero would have the big enough respect now to call Emu by his name. He's already done it before!
The thing is, he has, in the last couple episodes, he hasn't really addressed Emu personally, like, with a name.
No,
they've been kind of busy experiencing development.
No, but when Masamune was, like, saying, like, I need you to kill X-Aid, he was like, kill the intern.
Well, yeah, but that was before his big development.
No, but, like, I've only heard Hero call him by Emu once, and it's just, like...
He has done it, and he will do it again.
Yeah, we'll see.
But, how hilariously cringeworthy when Taiga and Nico were like, nah, man, drop the formalities. Okay, thank you, no license doctor.
Yeah. Okay, go back to calling me by my name.
Fuck, go back.
That happens a lot with characters this season. There's a lot of people who call characters in specific ways. Like, Masamune always calls him by the game name that he transforms.
I love that, though. Because I like that Masamune treats everyone like his product.
I think that's a reference to the fact that gamers often have aliases. I like
it. That makes sense.
They have gamer tags. That's awesome.
Yep. And then
Rider Elite Daddy Boy 69.
I was about to make up a fucking name. You Kamen Rider Cake Boy 76.
Sorry to everyone on Earth.
So Graphite literally decides that he can take on the entire world, and then the world shows up to him in the form of Cronus, taking the direct approach again.
Yep.
Instead of using the button in his office that I've been talking about.
Forget the button. Buttons doesn't matter anymore.
You will never forget the button.
But no, this was a heavy, heavy, heavy plot-focused episode.
Well, I should fucking hope so. It's the episode that he quote-unquote died in. So let's talk about that.
Yeah, he died.
Here's the thing. This show, every week, is forgetting more and more of its own continuity. Has everyone in the entire show forgotten that completed Bugsters are not completely dead?
No.
They can revive?
No.
And the only time there was an exception to that is when Cronus did his pause Hisatsu.
Okay, but my counter-argument to that is he got killed by Muteki.
But
Muteki might have some broken thing that we don't know about that could actually permanently destroy Bugsters. We don't know.
A,
they would have said that, right?
We have no evidence to that.
But,
B, if that was the case, I think Dan would have mentioned it. And C, no one has ever established that anything besides Cronus has that ability, because the reason that Cronus does it is because he traps them within pause. It's not just an inability.
Okay, well,
that's why he launches Hisatsu's on Paradox, which defeats him but doesn't kill him because he's just toying with him.
Yeah.
Which I thought was amazing, by the way.
Yeah, you shouldn't, it's not his character to toy people, you should pick the button and you're dead. So, yeah,
what
fuck you.
What?
Here's the thing, this has been happening so long that I think Masamune has changed to the point where he's enjoying the hunt. Because if at this point he was only interested in results, he wouldn't have toyed with him and he would have just launched pause
exactly,
and killed him immediately.
So, no, I was just saying...
So,
that, like,
I'm okay with him doing that now, but
go.
I'd still like him to acknowledge that he could just end him with the press of a fucking button.
Mm-hmm.
We got to see Paws in the middle of a leaf storm, which was cool.
That fucking gave me, like, Kabuto flashbacks.
Just... I was watching it on, like a live stream, so the quality wasn't great. So when it was paused, because of the low-quality video, it looked like they were caught in a storm of chips.
That
I'm like, are we on the NASA ship?
Doubt if he had chips. Be gone, chips! But honestly...
Oh my god.
Careful, they're rippled!
How many references did we fit into this past minute or so?
But you know what's really cool I liked about this episode? We got, like, what I like to think as... Because I don't like to think about, like, death ever.
I don't like to think...
No, well, no, I just don't like thinking about the concept of death. It scares me. But I liked how this show showed what, like, the imagery of what dying
drowning,
feels like. So I like to think that's probably what dying feels like. It feels like you're drowning on the inside. And, like, it's a scary thought because, you know, when you're underwater and, like, gasping for air, just like everything's like glowing dark and just closing around you, and you don't know what to do, and you're scared.
Or as I like to call it, Palad started feeling simple and clean.
Oh no.
Kingdom Hearts 3 confirmed!
Yeah, I'm like, am I watching Kingdom
Hearts? By the way, it's coming out in fucking 2018.
No, it's
been
probably,
13 years since Kingdom Hearts 2.
It's probably not actually going to, because it's going to be like Persona, and they're going to announce it.
Alternatively, Palad just starts singing in his head, "That is high, but I'm holding on. I'm Kamen Rider Chronicles number one."
Oh, God.
Palad gave off a line that made him sound like he thought he was the protagonist. That's adorable.
Well, he's kind of
isn't he?
No, he's not. He's
no,
one of the bosses.
No.
The advertising for Kamen Rider Chronicle is the hero is you.
No, but when Dan was building Chronicle, he like told Palad, he's like, yeah, no, you'll like pretty much like he didn't say it directly, but he was like, yeah, no, you'll be the star. You'll be the one to like play the game, fight everybody.
So, A, possibility, that was a lie, or B, Masamune changed that when he took over.
Yeah. But, I like that, it was interesting seeing Palad being, I can't
fearful?
Right, yeah, no, and he was, like, denying it, like, he's just pretending, like, oh, no, nothing, I'm not scared, and just, like, Emu's,
especially
like,
while
cut the bullshit.
Especially while he was transformed, and we see his goofy-looking eyes on the suit.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to die, but I look so ready to kick your ass.
Also, Ichi realized this when we first saw Paradox's Perfect Knockout, but I just noticed this week's episode that, like, his hair, it's literally X-Aid's hair, but it's all, like, floofy and, you know, like, it's
combed
all spread
back.
Out. Yeah.
And there's double of it.
Yeah, that too. But yeah, and then we get this, like, interesting shot where, like, Emu's on the rooftop with Palad, and it just kind of keeps, like,
really
going
artsy angle where you can, like, see the clouds behind them.
Yeah, but no, like, every time, like, one of them's talking, it shows the other, and then, like...
Yeah, that was pretty
to
neat.
Show their reaction while, like, the other character's talking to them. So that was a really interesting kind of thing.
And Palad seemed to have forgotten about the promise that he's instigated earlier.
Well,
Emu has to remind him about it.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, he's kind of going through some shit, so he's not thinking properly. Like,
maybe they had to remind the audience.
Shit.
You forgot the battle noise for the Ultra Zero. I just think it's funny that it took Nico being infected by Gemdeus disease for everyone to go, okay, no, we gotta fucking, like, actually advance the plot, you guys. We gotta beat this game.
Yeah, but then what happens, we get this, like, so we finally get, like, yeah, Emu decides, oh, I'm gonna, like, alright, let's fucking do this, you and me, one-on-one. And he's like,
oh,
okay.
You know what else is funny? I love during the first fight when, like, Emu shows up to save Palad,
mm-hmm.
It looks like he literally leapt out of the bushes like a fucking lion.
Yeah! No, like... Ichi wasn't paying attention for a second. I saw it, and I'm like, I was like, holy shit, Ichi, put it back. And then you just, yeah, you see, like, Muteki just, like, pounce out of the fucking, into the woods, like a fucking lion. I was just, like a lion bouncing on its prey. And then, like, yeah, there is a scene, though, where, like, Palad, like, takes Graphite's bug visor, and he's just like, I'm gonna go fucking fight Kronos myself. And Graphite's like, no, I'll come with you and help.
And here's
like,
the really, really weird part about that.
Hmm.
There's no payoff on that. He takes the bug visor, and we see that he has it when he's talking to Emu, but then it's never used the rest of the episode.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
I have no idea why.
I don't know why either. That's weird.
So
yeah, then they do their fight, and it kind of looks like the same area where, like, in the Chaser movie, where, like, Heart, Brain, and Chase were all, like...
exhausted and talking to each other?
But no, because I remember that was, like, that was on the ground. I can remember that very clearly. And just, yeah, like, and Dan's, like, trying so hard to fucking stop,
Emu from killing Palad.
No, because, and it made me think about this. Why would Dan be, like, so, like, upset and, like, not want, like, afraid of Emu losing his transforming ability? Because he knows that Emu's the only one who can do this, and that's why he made Muteki for him. But it's also, he wants his company back.
Yeah.
He just wants his company back. He wants his dad out of the picture so that he can go back to how things were where he was running and calling the shots.
Well, yeah, we know that.
No, I know.
That's
I know.
Why he was
but,
really pissed.
But yeah, but it was just interesting seeing like that. That's probably why he's like more pissed off about this situation than he should be.
Here's the thing, though. because we've established that Pallad and M are actually separate existences, though Pallad is definitely the source that spawned M,
mm-hmm.
there's not really enough to go on to say that if Pallad was destroyed, that M would be deleted as well. Because Pallad and M have existed separately from each other for long enough.
Yeah, but you know M has never, like, hasn't transformed during that time, so... I don't know. I hope they explain this kind of better, but...
And with regards to what to Pallad's quote-unquote final fate, there's several thoughts here. A, Emu could have possibly completely absorbed Pallad into himself, which I think is the...
I think that's what he did.
Because that would be... That would explain the significance of him, like, grabbing his fist as he was disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
B, Pallad is not absorbed, but defeated, and could respawn, because he's a completed bugster,
uh-huh.
and this... C, possibility. Muteki does have the ability to permanently delete bugsters.
Yeah, that's what I'd like to think.
We already know from the preview that Exe transforms next week, so whatever the reason, his ability to transform has not been deleted.
Yeah, and also uses Mighty Brothers, I believe. So.
Yeah. Which I'm going to be really interested to see the impact
maybe,
of that.
You know what? Maybe what it is maybe M, like, Tensei Gamer M is just, like, you know, a small fragment of Pallad, and so because, like, M is still there... like, Pallad can come back from that.
I'm kind of wondering if maybe my first thought that he has absorbed Pallad, and then when he uses Mighty Brothers, Pallad takes over for the orange one, for M.
That'd be cool. I would just like to see Emu and...
Because they've done it before.
Yeah, I would just like to see Emu and Pallad just, like, work together for the rest of the show. That'd be great. Because, like, they're the same
cool.
person, pretty much.
Not exactly,
no,
but...
No, like, they have slight differences, but, like, they're... But, yeah, like, Pallad has stated, you are me and I am you. So
he's Shadow Emu.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's Oh my gosh, it's like, have you got any guys, sorry, I'm being an idiot.
No,
plot's the nobody.
Have any of you guys read Scott Pilgrim?
No.
Not seen the movie, but read the comics.
If Gar was here, he would say yes
because
he loves Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, the comics are, I'm not going to say they're better than the movie, but they have a lot more in them because there's six of them and it's not just one hour, like, you know what I mean?
They
have to squash it all in one, so there's a lot of details that they... that are only in the comics, and one is the entire arc with Negascot, which was written off as like a one-off joke in the movie for some reason, but in the comics it's a serious thing about him facing his own...
His inner demons.
Basically his own fact that he's actually not that good a person. But how it eventually ends is Negascot actually phases into him when he accepts that there it's part of him. Do you think that that happened, not for the same reasons, but do you think that that could have happened
I think it could be very similar.
Yeah. Sorry
well, yeah.
for interrupting.
With regards to the whole Pallad versus M existence thing, Nico gives this whole speech to Emu about forgiving him because she still believes that it was Pallad that she lost to during that Tekken tournament. But now we kind of have a lot of evidence proving that it was M, who technically is not Emu but is not Pallad either. M is a schizophrenic dissociative personality disorder that was spawned as a result of Pallad's infection.
Yes, but, like, what she does is... I think what Nico is trying to be like is, like, oh, it's not Emu, it's Pallad, because M is based from Pallad. So she's just blaming Pallad for this. Because it's not Emu who was beating her.
I would like that to be the case, but I feel like Nico just hasn't been sat down and told about the birds and the bugsters.
That too, probably, but she's just she wants someone to blame, and it's not Emu's fault. It was M, so...
And sure,
Pallad's the closest evidence to why M's a thing, so she's like, fuck it, I blame Pallad.
Technically and vicariously, it is Pallad's fault that she lost.
Yeah.
Because Pallad spawned M.
Mm-hmm. Also we see, Masamune get, like, a call from, like, the other company that's gonna be in the true ending
movie. Yeah, Machina Vision, confirming that the movie is canon.
It had him talking about the, guy
the,
from...
The president, what was the name?
Johnny Maxima.
Johnny Maxima.
I just remember Johnny because Dr. Johnny Wilcox.
And the website for his company had a picture of him and it just says, I am God!
Imagine if game companies were like that here. You just go to
just
the website for like.
Just you see Masamune reading that, and then you just cut to Dan triggered.
You go to a game website like, oh, here's the Team Meat website. We are the deities of the universe in huge letters.
Just like Miyamoto just comes out, worship me, bitches.
on the on Miyamoto when he announced the rabid smash with the gun.
But yeah, like I really felt sorry for Plod during this whole episode.
Yeah, it was
because,
really.
You know
like,
why I felt sorry for him?
When he actually died, his cries crying out no was really
convincing.
Yeah, there's a scene where like you see
sorry
like
for interrupting you. What was I?
What I was gonna say is I think it's hilarious that they this is the big fight that we've led up to between the two of them. And Exeid makes no effort to make it a fair fight. He just busts out Hyper Muteki immediately.
Of course!
It's like, oh, you're level 99? I could fight you with a level 99, but instead I'm going to use my cheat device.
No!
Fucking immediately!
No,
and make this not even a contest!
No, because Emu's giving Palau what he wants, but he's just going to go all out, very seriously.
Oh, and we haven't mentioned the best moment in the entire episode. When Paradox tries to bail, and Emu warps over and says, nope!
Yeah, because, like, Plod tries to do his usual thing where he's like, I'm done playing, bye, and I was like, no.
Emu stops him by warping into him, and I'm just like, holy shit! By the way, speaking of holy shit,
it's
Gert!
Hi, Yellow Caster.
Oh my gosh, hi. Are you alright?
Yes, I'm recording.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's at midnight.
The Zero movie was an hour and 40 minutes, so...
We haven't gotten to it yet. You can sit in.
What are we talking about now?
We're just finishing up on the X-Aid discussion.
Well, alright. You guys talk about that since I haven't seen it.
Hooray!
So, I'm gonna go into my room quickly, and then,
Join us for the topic.
Yeah.
Cool. Yellowcaster got an autograph, everybody.
So then X-Aid kills all the Bugsters.
Wait, what?
And, and Palad takes over Emu's body,
and
now Palad is protagonist of X-Aid.
And a thousand years of darkness.
Yeah, and Emu dies. Oh, thank you, sir.
40 years of darkness. But hurricanes, storms, dogs and cats
living
together.
Mass hysteria!
Alright, I get the point! What if you're wrong? If I'm wrong, we're wrong. We go to jail peacefully, quietly.
Bill Murray, everybody. Here all week.
I wasn't even part of that. I don't know what the fuck just happened.
That's a big Twinkie. Next week we get Hair Whip.
Fighting Cronus again, I guess. Our gamer drivers are gone. Mighty Brother shows up. X-Aid whips his hair back
and
forth.
Cronus might use the reset button? Because on
that's
the Bungle Driver's
like.
Y, if you take off the,
if you're just holding
it
in your hands.
Holding it in your hands without the handle on or anything, you just hold down one of the buttons, it will go reset, and then it just resets everything.
I feel like that's going to be time reversal. It's going to rewind time, that's what I'm guessing.
Ooh.
Maybe to bring Palad back.
Maybe.
Oh, jeez, that might actually make sense.
Wait,
everything
Palad's
okay?
Dead?
No. Because completed Bugsters
no,
don't die.
No, of course not. He's alive.
I was just saying this. Completed Bugsters don't die. I'm not kidding.
Bugsters never die.
That's the episode name.
It
no, we gotta think of something better during the Zero discussion.
We'll see.
But yeah. Let's schwan to our future topic.
Before that... Play the Q-Ranger bumper. Our Q-Ranger Yosha Lucky count remains at 215 because there's no episode this week.
Thanks,
womp.
Golf.
Womp womp.
Featured topic.
And now our featured topic. Gar, take us in.
Alright, even though I just came through the door.
Take yourself and then us in.
All right. For the third and final week of Ultralight 2017 edition. Yes, we're only doing 3 weeks because next week we'll be at ConBravo.
Hooray!
I decided since we talked about the first Zero movie last year, we'll be talking about the second movie this year.
So this is Zero 2.
Yes.
Like Digimon.
Like Ultraman Zero the movie, Revenge of Belial, or... apparently Galactic Empire something. It's debatable.
Ultra Zero, the movie, Super Decisive Battle Belial, Galactic Empire.
I just love how Super Decisive Battle...
I did not read that on my phone.
It's funny how that sounds stupid, but it was probably just like Daikessen, which is cooler in Japanese.
Probably.
Okay, but can I just say, Gar? Holy shit! That was a fucking awesome movie! I was was not expecting all those characters to turn
Emily
up.
Is bracing herself because
sorry,
she can't
Emily.
Handle the brunt
it's,
of your...
It's okay.
Your,
it's
your
just...
She can't handle my fucking loudness.
Loud.
So. Hi, Emily.
Hi, Gar. Oh, gosh. I'm sorry, everyone.
But fucking... Okay, first off, can I say Glenfire? My God.
What a, all together what now.
Glenfire! Glenfire! Voiced by fucking Tomokazu Seki.
AKA the fucking MOBA Rates. Which was great because he was partnered up with Fire Pirates!
Oh,
which I call Pirates.
Well, this came out before Gunkrager?
Was it before 2010?
December 22nd, 2010.
Yeah, this was before Gunkrager.
Oh, snap.
A month before Gokaiger.
It was funny because I just kept coming up with more and more Gokaiger references. The fucking evil space fleet had Zed on them, so I'm like, it's the fucking Zangyax!
So we got to see Emperor Kaiser Belial, and just, oh my god, he's so cool.
That cape
like,
is so that, unnecessarily
that mantle
thick.
He has is just fucking diabolical, and I loved it. And he got this huge army, and, okay, Gar, you can, like, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, that's fine. But did it, or, like, the ships in this fleet, were they supposed to look like the ends of the Battle Nizer? That's kind of what it reminded me of.
How am I supposed to know? I haven't seen this movie since 2012.
Oh, fuck, okay. Yeah, okay. Well, I think the ships in this fleet looked like the Battle Nizer.
If you
like
think
ends.
They look like the Battle Nizer, post in the comments.
Sure. yeah, this movie starts with our introduction to our female pro tag.
The princess is running away while the Fire Nation invades.
Princess Emirana, I believe that was her name.
She runs away while the Fire Nation invades, and then she throws her moon crystal tiara and summons Ultraman Tiara, a.k.a. Mirror Knight.
Mirror Knight. He was really cool. Like
all the side characters in this movie were great.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm actually glad to be here right now, but give me 2 minutes while my phone, you know, lets me look it up.
But yeah, Mirror Knight, like, confused me for a second, because at first I was like, oh, that's an interesting Ultraman. And I'm like, you know what? No, that's not an Ultraman. So, and he wasn't. He's from the Mirror Planet or something like that, I think.
Yeah, it was the planet, the Mirror Planet, full of the two-dimensional people. Whose god was literally a flying special snowflake.
Yeah, it was a flying
snowflake.
Oh, jeez,
yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, so, yeah. Ultraman Zero is the son of Ultra 7,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, for this movie, Mirror Knight,
Which is great, because we just talked about Ultra 7 last week.
Yeah. Like, Mirror Knight, Glenfire, and
Jean-Bot.
Jean-Bot.
My god,
that
was the best part of the whole movie.
Voiced by Rompo.
And I'm Jean-Bot. Do not forget my name. Sorry.
those three characters are actually like reimaginings of original Super Saiyan characters.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Mirror Knight is a reincarnation of Mirror Man.
Hmm.
Glenfire is a reincarnation of Fireman. And
Jean-Bot
is a recreation of Jumborg Ace.
I was saying when we first showed up, he looked like a medieval version of Gridman.
Yeah, I'd say he's a mix. He's a fusion of Gridman and Commander Brave. So
that's kind
that's
of what we got.
By the way, the
fact that they were all teamed up at the end, it looked like they were trying to lead into a TV series where they were like their own Sentai.
They have their own. V cinemas where they
oh my god I called it
where they do fight as a team.
Can we watch these?
We will for
next.
Zero Quest on Ultra Ranger.
Fuck yeah, awesome, can't wait to talk about
you
those.
Know what, let me know when you do that, maybe I'll join you.
Alright, well that won't be until like 2 weeks from now probably.
So the Zangyax invade and Belial shoves his giant space claw into the planet.
Yeah, that was cool that he has
the
like this giant
ship.
Like fortress city kingdom thing that's just in the shape of one of his claws. That's
yeah,
fucking awesome.
I love it. Emily was like, the diamonds are invading.
The diamonds, my god.
Oh my god, that actually works.
So, oh my god, Belial's pink diamond.
The diamonds, my claw.
So Mirror Knight decides to fight him off using the power of the Swords of Revealing Light and Mirror Force.
Yeah, if Mirror Force and Swords of Revealing Light were fucking fusion card.
But then Belial activates his trap card and it explodes into the logo.
Yeah. in which Mirror Knight, from what I remember, Mirror Knight sits out throughout most of the movie.
He was actually in it a fair amount.
Like, in the bottom of the ocean.
He got, like, all of his power kind of sucked from him, and then he just became kind of this depressed, just huddled shell, and just, he's like, I can't do anything, like, oh, I failed, I'm just a pussy, and then Zero had to, like,
spend one of his three lives.
Funny thing.
Just to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, Belial decides, okay, I'm gonna go, like, attack the Land of Light or something like that, and then, like, all the Ultra beings are just like, shit, okay, what the fuck are we gonna do? And it's like, let's send Zero. Zero's like our cool work. Oh, but we also get introduced to the Darkclops, which are like evils.
There's a guy in special right before this movie called Ultraman Zero versus Darkclops Zeros.
Okay.
In which they are robotic versions of Ultraman Zero.
And I like their designs because like they were like a black version of Ultraman Zero, but they had like this cool like red, like, robotic eye, and it was really cool.
They're also in Ultraman Jeet Episode 3.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Oh, yeah, because, yeah, Darkclops is showing up next week. That's cool. Yay.
Well, technically right now, because that episode's currently out.
So, the Ultraman sends Zero to the planet being pointed out by the space blood leaking out from the Necrom icon.
Yeah, he, like, got one of the cores.
You say it pissed blood into the sky.
The Necrom icon is beaming space blood through the sky, which points Zero to where he has to go.
What is it? Well, I think the kids call it a hexagon.
So then Ultra 7, like, gives Zero, like, this bracelet. He's like, well, while you're going out to, like, another universe or whatever, like, you have, like, three...
Oh, yeah.
Thing, times you can transform, so, like, you know, don't use them all.
They gave him three star chips. He has to beat other Ultramen so we can get all 10 star chips
so that
to enter the duel.
Pegasus. And then they
which is great
the
because the power up form that he got later looked like a Pegasus.
Yeah. But in which, this is also the movie that introduces us to the multiverse.
Yep.
Which looked like he was flying through the world for a decade.
Beautiful. It was a beautiful shot. Just
him
flying through, like, different...
And
it reminded me of the ending of Men in Black when just, like, all the galaxies are just, like, a marble set, like, a bunch of aliens.
And I gotta say, not only the opening theme that plays during that sequence, but also the ending theme of the movie, both were fucking spectacular.
Yeah, they were pretty awesome.
Very, very good song.
I'm actually gonna look those songs up.
So he travels to another universe, and then, we get introduced to two of our characters, Ron and Now.
Who live on the planet Edenor.
It was little Gene! It was Gene as a little kid!
You
it was Riku!
You could say he was GB.
He's so cute! And annoying!
Don't worry, he gets better in 6 years.
I hope so.
Yeah, no, he's a really... In G, he's a really fun character, so...
He's
a Toku fan!
He was very small.
He watches his own Toku.
Go watch Dawnshine. Actually, wait, you can't.
Wait until December when the Blu-ray comes out.
Yep. It was cute because I saw it. I was like, oh, it's a little Riku. He's so cute. He's a little kid. But yeah, he does yell a lot in this movie.
So.
Anakin!
So while exploring the diamond mines.
We had enough of that with the Kotaro.
So while exploring the diamond mines or whatever the fuck they go through, they end up dangling over a cliff into lava. Save me, brother! The lava's not sepia like the rest of our planet! So as they're falling, we just see, like, a giant hand of light swoop in. And just in the back of my brain, I wanted the hand to swoop in, the older brother to be gone, and the younger brother to still fall in the lava.
Oh, my God, that's
but no,
terrible.
We wouldn't have Gene then if Now died, so.
Just the hand!
And also the giant hand spaceship. I was making hand jokes the whole movie, and I'm like, why is it Gar
so
hair?
Immediately...
Don't you fuck with the hand!
So immediately, like, we see, like, Ron, he kind of, like, dies or whatever, or he's, like, dying, and I just immediately was like, I know what's gonna happen, Zero's gonna take over his body, and that's gonna be the host, and...
But it's not enough, you want more, so you gotta sell your fucking body to all the people, but it's not
more.
More
Coke.
I want more Ultra Coke.
Yeah, so...
So, it's almost like Ultraman follows a strict and regimented formula for its plot.
He goes and finds someone who's dying.
Either...
I haven't seen a franchise with this tight of plot line structure since Pokemon. Possibly worse.
It's either you find a host or you just have a human disguise.
Well, yeah, what was interesting is, like, you see Zero's color timer go off, and then he just realizes, he's like, oh, fuck, like, I'm not used to the oxygen here on this planet.
Trying to find a dying pretty boy.
Pretty much.
Well, because, like, during the whole movie, like, we see, like, his color timer go off a bunch of times, and Emily was like, oh, that's, like, a long 3 minutes. I'm like, no, 3 minute thing only happens on Earth. Like, he's losing energy because he's,
and the
you
thing
know,
is,
getting his ass kicked.
At least twice during the movie, like, it's already started beeping, and then it, like, starts beeping faster, and I'm like, how fucking fast? Is he going to flatline? How long does this take?
From what I've seen, he does die at one. I don't know when, but Zero does die at one point.
It's not during the movie, like, even
no,
like,
he did, and then when they did the fucking spirit bomb thingy, they brought him back to life.
Yeah, I have to say,
as corny as those things are, where they have everyone, like, contribute and magical stuff happens, I unashamedly love that stuff. It happens in every Pretty Cure movie, too.
Man, yeah. I wish they can just do what Goku does in Super. I want an assassin to kill me. Oh, bing! Like, energy ball goes up, all of his friends, Goku's dead, no, holy shit, an energy ball. Hey, guys. Oh wait, God. Did you just shoot a ball of energy just to resurrect yourself when you die? Yep.
Wow, Goku.
You smart son of a
bitch. So they, like, go hide in a cave, and then, like, Zero's, like, trying to explain everything to Now, and Now it's just like, where's my brother? Is he dead?
No.
No, he's resting inside me.
No, he ran away.
Oh, God damn it.
Oh. But yeah, your brother, he is deep, deep inside me.
He went to a farm somewhere.
He's like,
No, so he was just like resting for now.
Minus the cool.
Yeah,
hand.
So because Zero just needed a body so he wouldn't die.
So while explaining, they fall down the plot hole.
And then they.
Which leads into a random spaceship that was there for a completely unexplained reason.
Called the Jean Bird.
There's a simple explanation for that.
But yes, so then we get on to the Jean Bird where
as soon as I saw the design of that ship, I immediately said, that fucking thing's gonna transform. I can see legs.
But you're watching a Toku and there's a...
Not all ships transform.
There's an actual transformation toy of
Jean Bot. That's cool.
But yeah, so Jean Bird is voiced by Rompo from Key Ranger, so
and Koji from Digimon Frontier.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that was fucking awesome because like his voice is so recognizable. And then yeah, Princess Amarana's on there too, and then they're just explaining like you know, oh, Belial wants to fucking destroy our planet or whatever like that. We need your help, and Zero's like, okay, I'll do all I can to help. And then so then yeah, they run into the Pirate of Flames. With their ship, the Avant-Garde, and then...
The three pirate captains, Gal, Gil,
and
Gull,
who, they were fun.
So you know how, like, Genbot, or Jeanbot looks in this movie?
Uh-huh.
This is what he originally is.
He looks like Ultraman 80.
Dem Stripe. I don't know. He has Zangief's underwear from Wreck-It
Ralph. No, thank you.
And then, yes, we also get introduced to Glenfire. And, he's voiced by Tomokazu Seki. And, God, this character was just great.
He, like, slicked back his hair and fire would go off. That was so awesome.
And just, yeah, like, he tried, like, fighting Zero. Well, he had a really fun fight with Zero. And so he kind of did, like, this kind of, like, Bruce Lee kind of jumping up and down kind of pose. And then he did, like, the... You know, Koi, like, come, let's fight.
And this is what he originally looked like.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah.
Those eyes!
Glenfire is a lot better.
Oh, jeez, his eyes are like dinner plates.
So then Zero decides to mock him.
He went
and
from
by
those
doing the
eyes
exact
to
same
no
thing.
Before we talk further on that, let's talk about the Ultraman Zero Henshin, because this is the first time we see it when he fights Glenfire. And god damn it, it's sunglasses again!
Like
well,
father,
I mean,
like son.
Yeah.
And like sunglasses.
Sell.
That's the name of the episode. Like father, like sunglasses.
No, we already had.
Yeah.
An episode. No, we already had an episode title.
No. That one's funnier.
No, it wasn't.
It didn't go. It's
who
not
you was. Actually, Sel watched this movie with us. So
and Paul.
Well, yes, mostly.
Mostly.
Like, father likes sunglasses.
No, I don't know.
No, and it's perfect, because our thumbnail is going to be him, like, making that really funny face while he was, like, putting on the glasses.
And lastly, might as well show you guys this. This is Mirror Man.
Oh. Mirror Knight is so much better.
Like I said, these are
Much I like how he's just wearing normal shoes.
That's true.
And also, it looks like he's wearing a sweatsuit.
I downloaded all three of these images.
Look, he's wearing a sweatsuit.
But yeah,
hashtag put that in.
It's aerobics, man.
So back to the Glenn Fire Zero fight quickly. And so, yeah, like, Glenn Fire does, like, this kind of, like, pose, and he, like, you know, prompts Zero to, like, come attack him. And then Zero, like, fucking tackles him into a cleft, and then, like, or punches him into a cleft. And then he proceeds to do the exact same thing Glenn Fire did it to him a moment ago. And Glenn Fire's like, fucking copy me, piece of shit.
And then Zero uses the motherfucking Kaneku Buster.
Well, no. Glenn Fire does it on him, and then Zero does it on him, on Glenn Fire.
Mirror move, bitch!
Yeah, pretty much. And it was really funny.
One of the coolest things about all those characters in this movie, they all have Ultra Axe.
Glenn Fire has an Ultra Axe?
Glenn Fire, Mirror Knight, and John Butt have Ultra Axe.
Oh, that's cool. Fucking awesome.
And just recently, for the Ultraman Zero Chronicle series, which is basically all the Gaiden movies and Zero movies, Zero is then spliced into episodes, they got vinyl figures, finally.
Cool.
Neat.
Yeah.
So after that fight, we get introduced to my favorite villain character in the movie, Darkgon.
Darkgon?
He's pretty cool.
How do you spell that?
Darkgon.
Oh. All one word?
Yes, that's how it's up.
Again, apologize, people. I haven't seen this movie since, like, 2012.
Oh, my God.
Darkgon!
So cool.
Yes, we know. Where has the dark gone to?
Darkgon!
Which is great, because at one point I thought he died, and I was like, aw, Darkgon. But he morphed away.
Oh. This guy?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
So Belial's army fleet starts, like, attacking everyone, and then the Pirate of Flames decide, like, alright, we'll distract them and stuff like that.
You guys go.
And I love that the captains just start, like, showing how fired up they are by just, like, actually firing their pistols in random directions.
Yeah. And then, yeah, pretty much. And then Glenfire does, like, this thing where he's just like, okay, goes, you know, catches more on fire, and then does this cool, like, attack where he, like, sets the entire fleet on fire and sends them into, like, the space sea black hole, like, thingy, and then, like, we presume he's dead, and just, like, immediately Cell, being Cell, is just like, watch, at the end of the movie, when Zero needs the help most, the pirates are gonna come back, and Glenfire is gonna come back. And then we're just like, I was just like, of course he is.
They're gonna need one piece of the action.
So after that, they decide, like, Zero and them escape, and so they finally get to the mirror planet, which, it was a really cool kind of transition of them, like, going into the planet, because, like, you could see, like, they went through, like, the mirror, and then it was just kind of, like, reversed, and it was just really cool. It was a nice shot. So then, yeah, they get down there, they find Mirror Knight, he's underneath, like, the ocean or something, and he's, like, super depressed.
They had the weird, lava lamp background effect while they were down there.
Oh, yeah, and then, like, the Northern Lights were playing in the background, we just kept making Simpson jokes during that.
Why Simpsons jokes?
The Aurora Borealis.
Oh, what's going on in there?
Kitchen.
The Aurora Borealis. Oh, it's just the Northern Lights. Aurora Borealis, in your kitchen, at this time of day, in this part of the country. Yes. Can I see it?
No.
Seymour, the house is on fire. Don't worry, Mother. It's just the Northern Lights. Then the magical god snowflake thing comes, and he's just like, you can't do it. We can't do anything for Mirror Knight. He's gone. And Zero's like, yeah, fuck you, and decides to, like...
Yeah, he's stuck in his sleeping position.
I just love Mirror Knight. No, but the
statue for him?
No, that's the Ultra Act.
The phrasing he uses, or at least the subbers use for him, it's like, I've been violated by Belial's darkness! And we're just like, do you need to talk to someone?
Violated.
You need a hug, buddy? So yeah, Hero literally, like...
His darkness touch.
So then Hero literally, like, grabs him from behind, and he's like, I will use my light to purify you. And
Zero,
like,
literally full Nelsons the light of God back into Mirror Knight to purify him.
Yeah, and then, like, the snowflake is like, oh, you revived Mirror Knight, and also I feel purified. Thank you, Ultra Red Zero. We will show you where the shield is.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. So the plot is they're looking for the Shield of Barathi, which is supposedly what they need to defeat Belial.
That's on Ultraman Noah.
There was this one shot where they were reminiscing back on their life on the home, on like the home, or now on Rand's home planet. And I just love that their mom apparently has a megaphone carved out of a fucking bucket.
I liked her.
She literally shouts up at them, "Your grandma's worried about you, come down!" And then the grandma comes out and goes, "Nah, fuck that!
Go have fun, okay!"
But they come down anyways.
So then, like, yeah, they find Ultraman Noah, who's like a statue, whatever, like that, and they're trying to figure out what the fuck to do.
I'm disappointed there wasn't a Noah's Ark.
So then, like, it.
Oh my god.
So then, Blau's.
Actually, you should have seen his arc on how he becomes Ultraman Noah.
So then the fleet. Blau's fleet comes, they start attacking the planet, whatever, like that, and so, like, Zero tries to transform, but then, like, he gets hit, and then. Or, first off, he. He folds his sunglasses into a gun, starts firing at a pillar to, like, save them from getting crushed.
I looked away for, like, a second when we were watching, and I just looked back to see him firing lasers out of his hand, and I thought he was just doing a handgun.
Who the bloody fuck decided that transforming sunglasses should also fold into each other to become a fucking laser gun?
Toy makers.
I've seen a lot of really fucking stupid gimmicks. But this one outfucks them all.
This one is one of them.
I thought it was
DX0 Eye Slugger.
Oh my god. But yeah, they're in the temple, like the Noah temple, and then he puts his tiny little shield gem into the bigger shield gem, and then it just like fades away to sand. And then we just start seeing the temple shaking, and Lynn and I were like, "You will never see the light of day!" And then the green screen starts shattering.
Now, this is no time to panic!
Start panicking.
And then we cut to, like, Zero in, like, a little jar, and we just see, like, he's on, like, Belial's, like, flagship or whatever, and just, like, Belial's just, like, okay. sitting... like on his throne, like high up, and he's just like,
"Oh my
they're
god,
all evil."
Oh my god, that shot from the snow globe up to the throne where Belial was sitting, my favorite shot right there.
Oh, just like Ichi and Emily can vouch for me. Every time Emperor Belial was on screen, I fucking fangasmed.
That is
because, like,
did you like the scar on?
Yeah,
screen?
And he goes up to me, he's just like, "You gave me this scar.
Look what you
and
did."
Then, like, he's holding, like, his, like, transformation device. He's like, "You want this, don't you?
You want this." The funny thing about the way he was holding it is he was simultaneously holding his transformation device captive and flipping him off with his middle finger.
No, and, like, Zero's, like, trying to, like, ask me, like, "Oh, Belial, like, what do you want?" And then Belial just immediately, like, jumps down to, like, where he is. And, like, it actually startled Zero for a second. And I was just like, that's so fucking cool. And so he's, like, trapped in there, and he doesn't know what the fuck to do, and, like, Belial's like, "Ha ha ha, I've won, like, you can't beat me." And then all of a sudden you just hear, like, Emirana and Now, and they're just like, "We've come to save you!" and stuff like that, and they're, like, flying the ship or whatever like that.
"You go!
And then,
here we go!"
Just, like, a high-pitched up, just,
I just think it was hilarious how Zero, it looked like he pretty much grabbed Belial by the dick before Kaneku bustering him as well.
Well, no, that's way later, but then...
No, when the ship shows up and fights against Dargon, that was after the fight with Zero and Belial.
Okay, yeah, but no, it's just gonna get...
Zero thumbs the nose on his suit that doesn't exist! That was dumb.
Well, it's because he's a little punk.
Hey, it's like Kulalu in Sergeant Frog. He likes to pick his nose that doesn't exist. So you just see him with his pinky in the center of his face and wiggle it back and forth.
And then, they do that in Kero as well. They don't have nostrils, but we have characters picking their noses.
And then, like, Zero and Belial have, like, a Dragon Ball-style beam battle, which Zero immediately loses.
Yeah, which I wasn't expecting at first.
I was just like, "Here's my Sunday best! Fuck, it's not good enough!"
Yeah, and Belial just, like, he's like, whooping his ass. And he actually, gets these cool, like, bigger, more badder claws.
Yeah, he, like, casts off his cloak and gets bigger claws. Like, no, you know what it was? Oh, Yasei Kaiho!
Yasei Kaiho!
Jesus, oh, butcher.
Yeah, so then, like, Mirror Knight's fighting, and then, like, when it seems all is lost or whatever, like, Jean Bird, it, like, crashes, and so then they're like, oh, shit, we're out of fuel, and so Emerald is like,
oh, my God.
Oh, I made of fuel! I'll go and go to the engine!
There's
like,
emeralds in my blood! There's emeralds in my blood!
I forgot about
so
that.
She, like, jumps in, and just the whole rest of the movie just now thinks, like, she's dead. Like, she sacrificed herself.
Oh, God, we're
going
to get a grief for this.
I'll throw myself into the unnecessarily human-sized fuel intake!
Well, no, this reminded me of that scene.
I was just like, it looks like she's about to jump on a galaxy glider.
Well, no, it reminded me of the scene from the movie The Core, where, like, they had to, like, reactivate the engines, but from, like, inside the engines of the ship. So, like, one of the scientists had to, like, go into one of their heat-resistant suits, go into the engine that's boiling hot, mind you, and reactivate the engines, and when he did, he got, like, roasted alive.
Motherfucking Fallout bullshit.
but, yeah, so then, Jean Bird, like, tells Now, he's like, okay, you must control the ship. You must yell out, Jean, fight! And he does this, like, cute little martial arts pose. This goes, Jean, fight! And then, yeah, it just starts transforming into a robot, and then
Not just a robot, a Jaeger.
Yeah.
Controlled
by
Now's motions.
Not a Jaeger. A Nirvash unit.
Sure.
Or, is it Nirvash?
Nirvash from Eureka 7?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's, I can't remember the actual name of the mech's in that name.
I think it's Nirvash.
No, Nirvash was the name of
the mech. I don't know the name of the classification.
So he transforms into Jeanbot, and it's just like, it was cool.
And now pilots it Star Wars Kinect style.
And yeah, and then he has a rocket punch called the Jean Knuckle, and then he has the Jean Blade, and then later on takes out a fucking battle axe.
That was awesome. But the thing is, it's not the Jean axe. It's just called the battle axe. That was disappointing. Just Jean Bird, Jean Fight, Jean Bot, Jean Knuckle, Jean Blade,
Battle Axe. Yeah.
Battle Axe.
And then he does like
Power Bow, Power Daggers, Power Sword.
He forgot Power Lance.
So then he does something
power
called, like,
Fuck.
That's like called the Kazuguruma, but which translates to pinwheel.
But it doesn't look like
no,
a pinwheel.
No, he just literally like swings the axe at him, and then he explodes and dies.
No, it's the pinwheel.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Mirror Knight goes Bankai and activates Scene of the Execution. Just 100 swords floating in a circle.
Yeah, no, it was Senbon Sakura Kageyoshi.
I think that mode is called Gokei or something like that.
Okay. And then, like, yeah, like, the guy he's fighting, whatever, like that, I think it was Durkan?
Yeah.
Yeah. He made, like, a funny, like, oh, you're like a mirror and I shall
shatter you.
No,
it wasn't him. It was, I don't know the name of it, but it was the guy that Cell said, we called him the Time of the Month Monster.
I actually, yeah.
Oh, no.
And he, like, makes, like, a thing of him. He's like, oh, if you're a mirror, I shall shatter you like one.
And then
Mirror Knight beats him and he's like, you are the fragile one. Belial, like, absorbs all, like, the emerald energy or something, and then becomes, like, this fucking super Belial space Godzilla, which,
yeah.
My God, was that an awesome-looking form. Yeah, and he has, like, a fucking Muppet, like, hand puppet mouth.
Like, every time he talked or shot beams, it looked like he was actually being hand puppeteered.
I knew you were going to be wisdom. Everyone likes me because I'm the Belial of wisdom.
God damn it.
We love making that joke.
Doug was one of the real.
But yeah, no. Super Belial was fucking awesome.
I don't know if that's what he's actually called, but I just like.
Oh.
Absorb all the Chaos Emeralds. It's a Super Belial!
So then all the fleets show up, Glenfire saves Zero, like, who's about to, like, get his fucking ass kicked, and then he brings in the pirate fleet, who brings in the mirror fleet, and then the Sepia fleet.
I just call the fleets that were from the planet that Now and Ron were from.
Arc-Belial.
Okay, Arc-Belial.
Arc-Belial, okay.
So it
was pretty much just the ending of Mass Effect 3.
Just, like, they're all fighting the Reapers.
Yeah, all the races are just banding together and fight the Reapers. So then Belial, like, fires his, like, atomic breath, and, like, they try using a barrier, and they're all working together to try to, like, keep this barrier up, And just, you see, like, Zero's color timer just, like, going faster and faster and faster and faster because he's about to fucking die.
And he basically flatlines eventually.
Yeah. And so he does, but then everyone decides, oh, let's band together and just, like...
Spirit bomb.
Spirit bomb. That's literally what it was. And...
I was kind of expecting more from that, and then it just showed him, like, getting re-energized. But then, like, out of nowhere after, I was disappointed. Fucking Ultraman Noah shows up out of nowhere.
And he's, like... Really out, silver. Out like of. Completely silver.
Out of nowhere.
God damn it.
Guys.
I did it.
When you're the god of Ultraman.
Ultraman Noah is the Ultraman god?
He is god.
God damn it.
I was trying to think of a Maggie.
He exists in all multiverses.
I was trying to think of a song that would use the Maggie and the Ferocious Beast theme song, but it wasn't working out well.
So then Zero gets powered up with some sort of Pegasus-style armor.
Well, he pretty much gets Ultraman Noah's shield that he had on himself. And
like it's
he
a
gets
dragon
that
shield.
As armor. Which turns into a bow, which it's also the arrow that he fires. And he, like, uses it and just straightened... But before that, like, Glenfire, Mirror Knight, and... Jean-Bot, they all, like, distract him, and, like, what's cool is, like, Belial, like, fires, like, an atomic breath at, Ultraman's, or Zero, who, like, looks like he's about to fire the weapon, but it was actually an illusion, like, from Mirrors.
Mirror Knight's
like,
him, yeah.
I'm good at that, and it was actually a really cool, like, distraction.
Actually, yeah. Ultraman Zero Ultimate Form is what it's called.
Okay. Wow, original name.
Yeah. Which I really love the form, and with that armor...
It's pretty.
And with that armor, Zero has the ability to travel through multiverses.
Cool.
Wasn't he already doing that?
No.
Okay.
I thought he went to a new universe. Isn't this like a new universe he went to?
Yes, but not like...
Was that the power of the Necrom icon?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the power that's like, oh, go that way. Now Zero can, wherever he is, he can just, boom, portal to new dimensions.
So, okay. So Zero pretty much shoots the arrow of light at Space Ganon.
And fucking pierces...
at Calamity Ganon.
Pierces right through him.
And then, like, as it penetrates him, it starts spinning. So I immediately was just... And always twirling! Twirling towards freedom!
And, like, as sad as I was to see Belial go, it was a pretty fucking awesome death.
No,
so.
It's like... No, oh, right. He'll be back.
He'll be back in Geed.
He'll be back again someday.
He'll be back in another V Cinema.
I love you, Dr. Glenfire.
He murders everyone.
Cool. Also, we get another 15-minute scene of just him fucking wrecking shit.
More like them in the movie.
Cool.
Like Mirror Knight.
Oh, okay. Oh, fuck. Them. But yeah, so then what happens is we get to, like, planet we were on, but, like, everything's, like, all grassy and looks nice and, like...
See if I remember.
Emily said that the sky looked like a Windows background.
Oh, yeah, it does. It did. It totally looks like the default Windows background.
But no, before they get back to that planet, they're on, like, the Jean Bird, and, like, because fucking Deus Ex Machina... Princess Esmeralda, or whoever the fuck, steps out of the fuel tank she jumped into, and like the
god, this part, yes.
The kid is so shocked, it's almost as if he wanted her to die.
Yeah, like he honestly, he's crying on the ground, and it's not like grateful crying, it really seems like he's really pissed.
Damn it, I wanted you to die!
And John Bird's just like, I didn't say she died.
She threw herself into the fuel tank!
She's like, I think I lost a little weight, though.
And most of your clothes.
So then, like, yeah, they go on this planet, whatever like that, and then just Zero's like, alright, I'm gonna go now, and he
I must
fucks
go,
up.
My planet needs
so then,
me.
Like, you see Zero, like, transform, flies off, and then immediately I'm just like, it's panning up still, and I'm just like, and Ron is dead.
And
still
then
dead.
Pans back pans down,
down,
and he's
on
the
ground.
Floor.
On the ground. Like, looks like
that
he's dead.
That killed us!
Yeah, Cell was fucking laughing his ass off. I was proud of myself for making a joke. But obviously, he wakes up, and he doesn't recall anything that fucking happened before
he
died.
He just looks around and goes, why isn't everything sepia?
It's like... Where are we? Why does it feel like I was just violated?
Why are we on planet Windows?
And just looks over at her. Who the fuck is she?
I guess.
It's like,
did I fuck her yet?
So then we get a cute thing.
No. It'd be like when the Doctor regenerated into the seventh incarnation. All right, back to... Wait a minute, hang on. First off, who am I? Where am I? And you! You're Hannah.
So then we get, like, a cute thing where now, like, yells out into the sky going, like, thank you for everything, Zero! I love you! And you see Zero just, like, outside the plant just being like, oh, that was cute, huh?
Meanwhile, what we're imagining he's really saying is, I like you better than my actual
brother!
Yeah,
exactly,
brother.
Like, come back! He sucks!
And then just Zero's flying, and I just, Zero's flying through the
you
universe.
You owe me a bet in 7 years!
And then Zero's, like, flying in space, and he's just like, I just made the joke, fuck, how do I get back? So then Glenfire just shows up behind, like, beside him, he's just like, hey, what's up, buddy? And Mirror Knight's just like, yeah, all right. So, like, you're gone? He's like, yeah, I can come back. He's like, hey, let's form a team. Yeah, all right.
And that's how we got the birth of Tupperware Remix Party.
This was... this wasn't in the notes, but them zooming off in those colored lights made me think of two things.
And that's the day is saved by Blossom.
No, actually not that. But one was Smile Pretty Cures, the end of their henshin. The five lights, Shine the Way to the Future, where it does the exact same thing. The other was that old Capri Sun commercial.
I don't remember.
You know where it has the kids flying through the sky?
No.
Yeah.
And just the line the narrator says at the end, one day they will visit the universe in your heart.
And then you'll get a...
What?
No.
I did not hear any
there
of that.
There are tiny Ultramen flying through your capillaries right now.
I don't know if I want that.
And thus they'll gain a new member for their visas.
That explains everything about cars. Your blood is made of Ultramen.
Ultra blood.
Bloodstream sharks.
Shut.
Every time your heart beats, like the Doctor listens, it's just
so yeah. So they form the Ultimate Force Zero, and like that's. No. I'm glad we'll get to see more of these characters.
That's
so.
Such an idiot. I'm sorry.
But
yes, now that I actually think about it, fuck it. What can I do when I sing out of tune while you stand up and sing along or something?
Apparently the answer is no.
Do you get by with a little help from your friends?
Was, like,
I get high with a little help from
together.
My friends?
Great, now
I go to sleep alone.
Now I want to make a music video just with the Zero Force team. Just with get by with a little help from my friends. Even though Zero apparently ditches them, like,
he has zero interest in them.
Yeah, pretty much. It's like, bye. Wait, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to go make cameos in other shows. Take us with you. Bye.
Can't hear you, bye.
It's like, he left us. What do we do?
Shit.
Party down.
But no, in all seriousness, I enjoyed the hell out of this movie. It was really good.
It had its good moments.
Oh, I know. You don't give a shit about Ultraman, but I still really love. I love this movie.
Let's put it this way: I don't regret watching it.
Okay, that's good. But yeah, no, like I really love this movie. I thought all these new characters. I wasn't expecting like characters like Glenfire, Mirror Knight, and Jean-Bot to be a thing. So though that was cool to see like these revamped like old school characters.
You know how Gokaiger or. Not Gokaiger. You know how Gavan had the next generation?
Yeah.
Eat your heart out. We did it first.
And better.
Yeah.
Yep.
By actually revamping original heroes and putting them into the Ultraman continuity.
Yep.
I'll have more to talk about this with Ultra Ranger Episode 10, where we'll be at Zero Quest Part 3.
Yep.
Emily, any closing thoughts?
Oh, as someone who doesn't know that much about Ultraman, I've only seen movies we've watched for Ultralie and also episode 1 of Geed. Geed, dang it. I did it again.
Geed, dang it!
No, it's just I...
Ah, jeez. Jeez. Guys, I know what we're calling our next show.
Oh, Geed, Rick.
Ultraman Cheese.
I thought you were going to go with Comrade or Geez.
Oh, Geed,
like,
Rick.
Like Comrade or Amazon's.
Yeah.
Oh. They're all themed off different alcoholic beverages.
No, I just want Lane. No, I just want what Lane just said. Just Ultraman Geez Rick.
Oh, Geez Rick.
You have to convince them you're an Ultraman, Morty.
Just doing the space.
You gotta get your schwa together, Morty. Ultraman, Morty.
I've seen one episode of Rick and
Morty. I just love that one shirt I saw of Rick as Kuzma from Pokemon. Just, Morty, give me your Pokemon, Morty.
That's great.
apparently we're out of shirt.
Someone who doesn't know that much about Ultraman, I actually thought it was really neat. There were a lot of moments which are kind of silly, and the kid especially with his, at the end, with his vague, not vague at all, disappointment apparently that the princess was alive and his brother was still there.
My brother's back! The princess is back! Did anyone die?!
Yeah. And the spirit bomb and everyone bringing their energy together. I know it's not really a spirit bomb from GBC, but like,
it could be.
That whole concept I like, even though I know it's corny as heck. I was very weirdly tuning in and out in during today's episode, and I apologize to everyone. Not during the movie as much as it was just during this. There was a whole point where I was just like, what am I doing in this room? Oh, there's a microphone.
What are the odds that I would make it back in time to finish?
I was actually kind of hoping you would.
I think you like fulfilled your cosmic destiny.
It was destiny for sure.
It was fate.
Either or.
Well, I thought you said it was fake.
I'm not here.
Like I mentioned,
I disappear. Sorry.
I don't want you to disappear.
Like I mentioned before, I think last year, and I also mentioned in this week's Ultra Ranger, that won't come out until next week. Zero is a good place to start if you want to get into Ultraman. Because he doesn't have his own series, he only has, you know, a bunch of films and guidance.
You always want to start at Zero, because it goes up from there.
That suits him, because, like, Zero's like this awesome, like, movie badass, and so...
Hell, he just got a supporting role.
Yeah, so he's an Ultraman G now, as like a support role, but he's going to be fun in that show.
You won't watch it after we're done recording?
No, I was going to play Splatoon.
Aww.
I'm sorry.
In other news, Splatoon 2 is out. Hooray.
You're a kid.
By now.
You're a squid. You're a kid. You're a squid.
My mom
was singing that all day.
Alright, Ichi, take us out.
Alright, so everyone, thank you once again for joining us for another episode of
Radio. No, I meant like take us out to McDonald's, you fucking idiot.
Oh, well, I mean, I can.
No. It's fine. Just kidding. Go on. Continue.
As always, the primary hub for our hijinks is Radio Sentai castranger.podbean.com. You can check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/rscastranger.
It's not that funny.
Tweet at us at Ixie Studios. Check out our publicly available Discord, which is up on the website. Check out our Patreon and consider pledging to help us make the show better for you. And when this episode goes out, when it is actually released, there will be a new shirt on the Cast Ranger T Public website.
There will be?
I won't say what it is. You'll just have to go check the website.
Can we get a hint?
It involves a cast ranger.
It's probably me.
It's probably you.
It's a shirt!
Here's a hint. I know you guys will all get it, so don't say it, but okay. This will be a hint for anyone who is listening who has been paying attention. The cast ranger whose birthday it was.
Oh!
Oh, okay. That's gonna be cool.
Now you all get to listen to the episode all over again, or just go check the website and click on our TeePublic link for our merchandise. The first time we put up a new design, every time we put up a new design, it will be on sale for 3 days, 72 hours, from the minute it's been put up. So, alongside the release of this episode, there will be a new design of Cast Ranger merch, which will be not only for sale going forward, but on sale for a cheaper price for the 3 days following the release. So, we're going to start doing that, hopefully every week. We have a lot of ideas for shirts, and I think we can pump out one a week.
I have to get dry.
Not all of them are you.
No, but I'm just saying I have to make sure, because you guys want me to draw a bunch of things. So
only if you want to.
I still like my
idea. I do want to, I just don't want them to suck.
It won't suck.
That will be fine.
I still like my idea, in which if you have
Don't say what it is, because we won't spoil future releases. When it comes out, you can talk about it.
Alright.
Yeah, these are our days. We gotta play it close to the vest.
Well, follow me on Twitter at Lytrid. Follow us on Podbean, Facebook, all that shit.
Lane, this
YouTube.
Isn't Ultra Ranger where we actually call that shit off in that order.
This ending is strange.
I've I've already said all the important shit.
Add us on Patreon.
Support
us on Patreon.
Thank you for watching.
Comments. I'm hungry. Comments for Lane.
Subscribe to me on Facebook. At me on Twitter. Fucking tumble me on Instagram.
Again, there won't be an episode out next week because of Con Bravo.
Flip me a message on Dig. And don't forget to pin my interest
on Google
on Pinterest.
Plus.
Don't forget to plus me on Google Plus.
Don't forget to add me as a friend on MySpace.
Send me a wave on Facebook, please.
Don't forget to share spaces on MySpace.
Send some chips to me on Sidekick.
Follow me on Newsgrounds.
I'm sorry.
Where I release the new flashes.
Newsgrounds?
I just made a Canadian joke.
Oh my
god. I just
god.
Realized no one's gonna get that unless they're in Canada.
And yeah, just so everyone knows, we are gonna be at Con Bravo 2017 next week, which is in Hamilton, so if you're in the area or can get there, come meet us! If enough people want, if people message us, we might be able to arrange some sort of Cast Ranger meetup of some sort, unofficial though it might be.
We can all go for blackjacks and hookers.
Or frosty chocolate milkshakes. That's a joke.
Or blackjacks and hunkers.
Or both. It could be all of the above.
No.
Could be all.
We'll all just say fuck the convention. We'll all just go find something to do.
Make our own convention.
Our own convention.
Go find someone to do.
I won't actually
the
be
CasterCon.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening, guys.
See you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
I hope you guys are doing okay out there. Why did I say that? If you aren't doing okay, let me know and I'll try to help.
If you're not doing okay, like, favorite, and subscribe.
No, that's no.
If you are doing okay, like, comment, and subscribe.
Don't exploit their despair.
Okay.
That's wrong.
Goodbye.
Okay,
I'm tired.
Bye, everyone.
This episode of Cast Ranger has been brought to you by the glorious donations of our cast patrons, Oliver Nilsson, Joel Maroney, and Chris Laird. Thanks very much.